probably apt that we hear a much longer interview from Jonathan Pyle than we brought to you this morning. He was in Belfast this week to launch a new Loyalist initiative involving the main paramilitary groupings, Loyalist paramilitary groupings, vowing to take a stand against crime. I spoke to him yesterday and asked why law-abiding people should have to put up with paramilitaries any longer.
Well, I hope they won't have to put up with paramilitary violence or paramilitary criminality anymore. I think having the organisations is another matter. You don't really want the names of the organisations being taken over by other more violent men. And that's a lesson from around the world, from Spain, El Salvador, Indonesia. You don't want their brand taken over by someone else. So having the organisations as sort of people looking after the history, looking after the culture, that's fine, as long as they're not engaged in violence and criminality. And I think what people want to see is an end to that. And so that's what I hope they will get.
So that's the new Northern Ireland. That's what we've got to put up with, is it? That's normality, that we've got to tolerate these paramilitaries who have killed people, who have shot people, who extort from people. We've got to give them a sense of respectability now. They can exist.
Well, you've got a choice. You can leave them out there carrying on with those activities, or we can try to bring them in, as we did with previously with the IRA and the violence on the other side. We can either leave them there, making people's lives hell, or we can find a way of bringing them back in, making a transition. And I personally think it's far better to do the latter.
Well, you mentioned the IRA there. You were involved in the peace process heavily. Do you think the IRA's gone away?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the Chief Constable about that. I'm not in a position to say one way or another. What I do know from my work around the rest of the world, trying to get rid of the actual names of these organisations too early is a mistake. Trying to stop the criminality, stop the paramilitarism is a very sensible thing to do, and that's what we should be concentrating on.
But if you don't know if the IRA's gone away, then we don't know if that whole process is successful or not. Does it matter if the IRA's gone away?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it matters whether the IRA has gone away. If the IRA is there as a veterans organisation, why does that matter? Why not legalise it?
Well, that's the next question. Are they there for just a veterans association, or was the Chief Constable right when members of the IRA shot someone on the streets of Belfast recently?
But this is the distinction I'm trying to make between an organisation that is engaged in criminality, paramilitarism or terrorism, and an organisation that's not engaged in that. I see no difficulty of an organisation that's not engaged in those things. What I do want to see is an end to those sort of activities.
So if I follow your logic, is it fair for me to say that you would now want to see, therefore, the IRA, Red Hand Commando, UDA, UVF, legalised, membership legalised?
I don't see why there'd be any difficulty doing that. That's not necessarily what I'm advocating. What I'm suggesting and talking about yesterday and today is the formation of a new loyalist body that brings together all of the loyalist organisations and makes clear that they will not be engaged in criminality, not be engaged in violence, and anyone who is should be dealt with by the police. And I think that's an advance.
Yeah, but do you think they should be legalised? Because if they were legalised, then that's it. That's a line drawn in the sand, isn't it?
It was actually something we discussed in government back when we were doing the peace process in the later stages of it. We did look at whether it would actually be sensible to legalise the IRA. It didn't happen. And I don't think anyone's actually calling for it from either side. So I'm not sure it's the sort of issue top of the agenda. My point is, does it matter if these organisations exist as long as they're not engaged in violence or criminality?
The very people who you met over recent hours who told you, guaranteed to you, that they're no longer going to be involved in violence and they'll do their utmost to stop it, correct? Do you think, therefore, and this came from one of the callers to my radio show this morning, so extortion and protection money, do you think that has immediately, overnight stopped from those groups like the UDA, UVF?
I hope it is going to stop. I mean, we'll have a report later in this week which will talk about paramilitarism and what the groups have been up to. And one alternative would be just to leave them out there and let the police deal with them. But so far, over the last 10 years, that's not worked. I'm suggesting that those people who want to make a transition, we reach out to them, we help them make a transition. The others who are left behind, let the police deal with them. That's the sensible way to do it.
Final question. Why do you believe them? Because they've said this before.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I met them before when I was in government in different forms. I think the question really is what I said yesterday. This is not supposed to be an event. It's not about a piece of paper. This is about a process. We can see if they mean it. We start now, we try and help them to make that transition. If it works, we'll see. If it doesn't work, and if they've cooperated with the new monitoring body, then we'll know if it's worked or not. But that's the sensible way to do it. Just to leave them out there, out in the cold, is not a sensible way to go about this.
So is it too early to say you don't believe them yet?
No, I say I do believe them and I want to see the proof of it.
My question is, why did you believe them yesterday?
Oh, why did I believe them? Because I'll always believe people in these circumstances, the same way as I believe
the
IRA.
Naive.
Well, you can say that. I believed the IRA before and it did work in that case. I believed ETA and it has worked in that case in Spain. You've got to give people a chance. Otherwise, you just carry on with the conflict forever. And the problem with Northern Ireland is you're always inclined to try and live in the past. We want you to be able to live in the future and turn your back on the past.
Jonathan, inside their heads. Why do you think they genuinely mean it this time? Are they getting old? Have they had a change of heart? What is it?
I think that the world has moved on. This latest crisis in Northern Ireland has brought it to a head again about paramilitarism. They were left behind. You know, that's one of the bits of unfinished business from our peace process. Here are communities that are really suffering in terms of educational disadvantage, economic disadvantage. They've got no political voice ever since Davy Irvine died. And we need them to be able to have a voice, have some role models they can follow. And helping them is a sensible way to do it, not ignoring them.
So you believe they've been left behind? That's interesting, because they've been saying that to me over recent years.
Yes, I really do think. I think it was one of the things we failed to achieve when we were in government, was to try and bring the lawyers with them. Of course, they were very important at the beginning, if you remember. David Trimble couldn't have got into the talks that led to the Good Friday Agreement without the loyalists supporting him. If we hadn't had Davy Irvine, there's a strong voice, we wouldn't have made some progress.
Okay.
So I think that was lost, and that's what needs to be brought back.
Jonathan Powell, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Well, plenty of talking points in there in itself. Talks about the loyalists being left behind. Now, that's a complaint that you will have heard quite often. The likes of Jim Wilson, for example, et cetera, sent many times on the Nolan Show. But what do you make of that? Some people would argue, of course, that loyalists have been out in the cold politically because they don't get the votes and because of the pain that loyalist paramilitaries have inflicted on their own communities. Murder, feuding, extortion, drug dealing. We heard that guy on the show yesterday saying that they call round to his business and every business around him every Friday to collect protection money. And he's now wondering, given this new statement, if that's not going to happen this Friday. Tomorrow morning, are they not going to turn up? Does he not have to pay us 70 quid a week anymore? But then again, on the other side of all of this, do you welcome this new initiative to re-engage loyalism politically, to bring an end to crime? And if you do think it's wrong, what's your alternative? Those are some of the talking points this morning.